Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter, and pastor of New Vision for Life Church. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. It is another blessed Sabbath day, and we thank the Lord for it always. I'd like to say good morning to my beautiful co-host. Good morning, beloved. How are you today?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. I am well. I am in a good place. I'm happy to be on. I'm not at work. So, yes, man,
yay.
I'm happy to be here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory, I tell you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And, you know, always, I always feel better when I have you on with me. Praise God. Yeah. You know, you have been such a blessing over these years. And when I said that, that wasn't just for the radio show. You know, that's just being in my life, period, and how God, you know, divinely connected us together. And so I don't ever want to fail to give him glory for what he has done. Praise God.
Amen.
So I do thank the Lord for you. I do. I'm telling you. I have been truly blessed, you know, for a woman that is not one to walk around saying I've got a bunch of friends, because I take that term serious when it comes to friendship, you know. And the word says, you know, that a friend is one that would lay their life down for the other. And for his brother. And I thank God that the friends that I have in my life are friends that I would lay my life down for. And that, folks, as you hear me say that, that doesn't necessarily mean that I would have to die physically for them. But to lay your life down for someone and to die for them, that is dying to yourself as well. For your friend, the things that, you know, that I may have to not do, or things I may do that I wouldn't normally do, but for my friend, I would do these things. And I have been sincerely blessed. And y'all know and have heard me say several times about having my girlfriend, Teresa, who's not just a girlfriend. She is a friend. She is my sister friend. She is my friend sister, and we've been together since we were 12 years old. And so, you know, that is definitely 50-plus years that we have been together, and I am grateful. I am grateful, you know. And I have other friends that I consider friends, you know, that are on the radio show here with us, you know. And I just feel honored. I don't take the relationships that I have. I do not take them for granted. So this morning, good morning to not just our great list, good morning to my friends this morning. So good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson. Good morning, beloved. I love you. Good morning to their daughter, Tamika Shelton. Good morning, beloved. Good morning, Joyce in New York. God bless you, woman of God. Good morning, Teresa. My heart is yours always, sweetheart. Good morning, Prophetess Kim, Prophetess Dorn, Isaiah in New York, Isaiah in Pennsylvania. Good morning to you guys. Good morning. Good morning to Deacon Thomas Farr. Praise be unto the Lord. Praise be unto the Lord. And to all of New Vision listeners that chime in and call in, good morning to you guys. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. May we all rejoice and be glad in it. Love is in your hands, beloved.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning, good morning, good morning to everyone. We thank you so much for joining us. We thank you so much for being faithful to this show. We just praise God because, again, you don't have to come here every Saturday, but you intentionally get up and dial this number, and we truly appreciate it. We know that without our Father, you know, nothing is possible. He makes everything possible. So we just bless you. We bless you. We bless you that anything that you need, that He shall supply. You know, your prayers that have been on the altar for a while, you know, He hasn't forgotten about you. So we just thank you for just taking the time out just to be with us on this show. And you just don't know how much we appreciate that. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And at this time, we're going to go into prayer. So Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We love you, oh God. Lord, you are everything that we need. Father, we just thank you for this time that we spend on this line every Saturday, Lord God. We thank you for every person that represents a household in the name of Jesus, Lord. We just give you praise, Lord. We honor you, Lord God. There is none like you, Father God. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your peace, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you that no matter what is going on around us, as long as we have you and we've leaned on you and we're trusting in you, that our hearts don't have to be troubled. We don't have to worry about the things that we see, the things that we hear, but we know how to pray. And, Father, we just give you praise, oh, God, because you are wonderful in all your ways, Father God. Even in those dark places, we can call on you, and you allow your light to for us to be able to see our way through some things, Lord God, to see how to minister to somebody else that's in need, Father God. So we just thank you, Lord, for how you blessed us, how you raised us, how you've given us the tools and the resources we need to be effective in the earth, oh God. Father, we just thank you for choosing us and creating us just the way that you want us to be, Father God. And, Lord, we just give you praise, Lord God, because you are great and mighty, God. We are honored to be your children, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. We are honored. We are blessed, oh God. We are special, Lord. And we just give you praise, oh God. And we thank you for being there for us. We thank you, Lord God, that even in those times where we don't know, Lord God, it's like we can't see at the moment. And there's things, decisions that need to be made. And God, just our children, Lord God, that we're concerned about, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that we could call on the name of Jesus and that you will come to our rescue. There is something when we call on, something happens when we call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus,
yes.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus,
Jesus.
Yes. Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus,
yes,
there is something that takes place in the atmosphere when we call on your name, oh God. We just give you praise and we thank you, Father God, for everything that you're doing in this season, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just give you praise, oh God, because we know that you're working, Father God. We just give you praise, oh God, because we know that you're taking care of our situations in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, oh God, because we see how you protected us through this pandemic, oh God, and you still provided in the name of Jesus. Lord, we praise you, oh God, that we're still alive. We praise you. We praise you, oh God, because, Lord God, we haven't been affected in the name of Jesus. God, we just praise you. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, oh God. We take our eyes off of things, Lord God, that will cause us to lose focus, oh God. And we just praise you, Father, in the name of
Jesus,
God. We praise you collectively, Lord God, that the earth will shake because of our praises in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we praise you. Hallelujah. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Heavenly Father.
Yes,
we rejoice,
yes,
oh God. Hallelujah. We shall not be sad,
oh God.
We shall not be depressed, oh God, we shall not be moved. Lord God, we just give you praise, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh God, release your glory over this place, oh God. Release your glory over the earth, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show the people that you are still in control, oh God. Show them that you had these situations in your hand, Father, in the name of Jesus, and that you have not forgotten us, oh God. You have not left us, Father God. You have not turned your back on us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, oh God. Thank you.
To be causing us to fall to our knees and pray and to cry out to you, Father God, because you want to hear our voices. Hallelujah. You want to hear, Father God, that we are honoring you and that we are praising you, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And Lord, there is none like you, God. So we just continue to say thank you, Lord God. Thank you for all that you have done, Lord God. Thank you for what's to come, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for raising up the prophets in the earth even now, God. Your mouthpieces, God, the ones, Lord God, that people don't even think, the quiet ones, Father God, your secret weapons, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God, I pray that they be released in the earth even now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah.
Thank you,
oh God, continue to cover us, continue to keep us, Lord God, continue to fill us up, Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, continue to keep our eyes on you, Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, oh God, we just thank you, Lord, for everything that you are doing right now, God, that you'll continue to allow us to run into your arms, oh God, and meet you in the secret place, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, God, your strength, your love, Father, in the name of Jesus, your love, oh God. Your love goes beyond words and actions, Father, in the name of Jesus, oh God. Your love, Father God, is the peace that we need, Father, in the name of Jesus. Your love, oh God, is the answer to so many things, Father, in the name of Jesus, God. So, Lord, we honor you. We thank you. We love you. We bless you, Lord God, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, I tell you, thank you, Lord God. It's good to get the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit stirred up with us in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Almighty God. Almighty God. Yes, this is the day, Lord God. This is the day. And we truly do thank you, Lord God. You know, y'all, when I call into the show to start our show, I play normally Call to Be by Jonathan Nelson. And that song just reminds me that no matter what is going on in my life, that I will be what God's called me to be, that I will be. And it's amazing. Thank you, Jesus. I see how the Lord is so moved by music. The worship, you know, and the music, and I am so moved and changed by music, and you know, music. Well, obviously, thank you, Holy Spirit. Obviously, you know, it's not just for worship. This is why they have music to your movies and so forth, because certain music enhances the moments in your movies, the romantic music for the romantic scenes and for the action scenes, you know, that type of music, you know, and then for the drama and so forth and so on. Music plays such an important part of it. And when you know, Lucifer being the angel in heaven and the minister of music and how he ministered to the Lord, you know, and got so upset about the angels, you know, praising God and God getting all of this attention and so forth. And because the music flowed from Lucifer himself, you know, he felt that he should be the one to get all of the glory and all of the honor. He hated that God was getting all of that attention, you know, so he acted the fool and got himself kicked out of heaven. And for me, you know, this is why I look, beloved, this is even, you know, why we have, you know, the worship music, you know, in church. And listen, beloved, it doesn't have to be the actual sounds of the instrument. Acapella, when we're singing acapella and just singing our hearts out to the Lord or anything else, you know, even in that, music begins to play in the atmosphere. You can hear instruments and so forth playing in the atmosphere, you know, even though there's not an instrument being played. It is so marvelous. It's amazing what the sound of music can do for you. And so when I play that song on Saturday mornings, you know, like, it just reminds me of the things that God has called me to be. And that, Lord, no matter what is going on in my life, I will be what you called me to be at 66 years old. Oh, is that, am I 66 or 67? I don't even know how old I am right now. Holy smokes. I don't even know. Well, I know I'm older than 65. I know. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I do know that. Praise be unto God. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, like, I'm never feeling too old to do what it is we do. And in fact, you know, in my head, I'm a lot younger than my body is. I'm a lot younger in my head than my body is. Praise be unto God. But I'm excited. I'm excited about the Lord. I'm excited about being all that he's called us to be. Just, again, you know, just excited about it. And so, beloved, y'all, I pray that you have an awesome, awesome day today. So I'm in a good mood. I'm in a lot of pain, but I'm in a good mood today. I'm in a good mood. Praise the Lord. So listen, Hans, so last week, you know, we discussed the seven basic needs of a wife, and it was very interesting, to say the least, you know, very interesting. And I want to thank our men that chimed in and had something to say. You know, I really appreciate the Lord for that. And so this week, of course, we're going to touch on the seven basic needs of a husband, the seven basic needs of a husband. And let me say this. Everything that we present to y'all, because we are presenting it, does not necessarily mean that it is something that we believe in. There'll be times when we may speak about something that's controversial, you know, something that I can say, well, hold up, you know, there's some controversy. There's some controversy in dealing with this particular subject, and I agree with the majority of these basic needs of a husband. And yeah, the majority. And there's only one that, when I read it, it kind of shook my gizzards. So when we get to that one, I'd have to look it up to see which one it is, so that's the one that I particularly want to be sure that I discuss, so that you could understand my my shake and give it about it. So when we get to that one, excuse me, I'll be sure to be the one to expound on that one. I'll be sure to do that. So we're going to go ahead and get started with these basic needs and do our best to cover them all in the time that we have left. Okay, so we'll start out here with the idea, okay, that as a wife, you are uniquely qualified to fully meet your husband's needs and cause him to rejoice in the wife of his youth. And that comes from Proverbs 5:18. And in the word, God clearly establishes the responsibility of a husband and a wife, and the wife's responsibility to honor and reverence her husband. And so that's what we're going to be discussing, the honor and the reverence of a husband. So how do we do that? How do we do that? So we're looking at how to fulfill those needs. So the very first one is a man needs a wife who is loyal and supportive. Helping her husband to fulfill his goals and dreams is a wife's main responsibility. And women, we need to remember that we need to support his vision. He establishes goals and priorities for your family. And a wife that would crush her husband's spirit by resisting his decisions is not a very smart woman. God will hold her accountable for disobeying his instructions. That comes from Ephesians 5:22-24. And let me see if I can pull that up, because, you know, we want to, whoops, that's the wrong thing. And I apologize, beloved, that I didn't have the scripture ready.
Beloved, I
before.
It.
Thank you, my love. Go ahead. See there? Hallelujah. Go ahead, sweetheart. Tell us what that scripture says.
Amen. Ephesians 5:22-24. For wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything.
Amen. Y'all, look, I know, I'm on this line with a bunch of spirit-filled sisters in the Lord, and I know some of these things, hallelujah, is going to make the hair on your arms stand up. I get that. We have to look and see what God has to say, okay? What God has to say. Now, with that one, you know, the big thing is in that scripture when it says submit to your husband in everything. First of all, so many wives have trouble submitting. And listen, but don't forget, it says submit unto him as unto the Lord. And when read that again for me, beloved. Read that again, please. And y'all, listen, this is number one, and this is not the one that I had issues with, okay? This is not the one that I had issues with, but go ahead, beloved, read the scripture again.
Beloved, I'm going to read the scripture again, but as soon as we're done, your elder was listening, and he came running in here, and he scared me, and I'm like, oh. He like has to say something about that. I was just talking about that. Okay, so, all right, let me read it again.
Okay.
Ephesians 5, verses 22-24. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. And here is Elder Mark.
Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Apostle. Good morning to you all listening. I'm sorry I scared my wife. I'll have to give her a lovely hug and kiss later to apologize for scaring her. But I ran in because I so many times men talk about this, my wife doesn't submit, when they're questioning. To give you an idea of where the conversation started, someone who's not really in church asked me a question as a godly man, why does my wife not submit? And I said, well, what is your understanding of her submitting to you? Because, you know, we all tend to use scriptures in the context that we want to make our life fit. And what a lot of men sometimes believe, and sometimes women believe, that submission means I've got to enslave myself to what you want me to do. That's not what the submission means. The submission means that I will agree with your way of thinking, your ideology, as long as you are following the words of God. That's the submission part. We're submitting to an authority that's following an authority, not we're submitting to be enslaved. And we think, oh, well, that means she's going to have sex with me whenever I want her to. No, that means she submitted to the idea of keeping you and being your helpmeet. She submitted to the idea of giving you the things you need to be satisfied, to be gratified, and to live a healthy and prosperous life. But if a man thinks that all she's supposed to do is sit back and wait for him to give orders, that's not submission. That's enslaved. But I had to say it because I know so many men hear it and think, I get to tell my wife what to do and she better do it.
That's right. That's right. Men think that, and women think, you know, that totally means I got to obey him no matter what, and so forth and so on. And that is not what the word meant. And brother, somebody that's on our show listening sent a text and said, amen, brother, speak, brother, speak. So to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Amen, amen. And so, and you keep on listening and chime in there, darling, whenever you need to. And if Lester wants to say something, Joyce, put him on the line. Put him on the line. So in dealing with this, like the woman, our wife has to be loyal and supportive. We have to remember that our husband's perspective is different from ours. And this I found very interesting. And I was like, oh, my God, this part here is so true. A man's goals often involve long-term or long-range achievement. So therefore, he's willing to sacrifice short-term confidence in order to meet long-term goals. However, a wife's perspective usually centers on centers on short-term goals associated with her responsibilities in the family and the home. And during times of pressure, a wife should keep the big picture in mind, accept difficult situations from God without giving God a deadline to remove them. Now, let me give you an example with this. Your husband has an idea inventing something. He has an idea of inventing something. And so he's working on this invention. And what he's working on to invent is not something that's going to be just for the moment and not a long-term solution. He's working on something that's going to be a long-term solution. So in doing so, he's taking a lot of time, you know, from the family in order to get that thing done. So the wife, you know, is like, Bob, we got to take care of this today. This needs to be done. The family needs this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so she's picking on those things that must be accomplished in the here and now while he's focusing on the long-term goal. So what the author of this article is saying is that we are to be supportive of him in that long-range goal and still see a way of getting the daily things, the short-term stuff done. We've got to have the big picture in mind. And sometimes, beloved, that could be that the man isn't holding down a full-time job at that time. The woman has the full-time job. The man is working on a project let me keep him working because I don't want to start a riot on this line. Let me keep him working. But I'm telling you, well, I'm stirring up stuff in here this morning, and I haven't gotten off of number one yet. But let's keep him working, keep her working. But in his working and her working, he does not spend the time with the family that he needs to spend. If you remember in our 7 Basic Needs of the Wife, it talks about how the man should not work so much building for the future that he lets the present time with his wife and children go by. Now, on this side of the coin is saying also that while that man is working hard to build for the future and he isn't spending the time with us the way that we should, he's seeing that it's okay that I'm working like this because, baby, I'm trying to secure our future. So you should support me. You should be okay with this. I'm not out here running around. I'm doing everything I can to see to it that our kids have college education. Yes, he is. But my child is 2 and 3 years old, and they need their daddy now to be sowing into their lives. And so we need to support him in his endeavor for the long-term thing. We as the wives are looking at the immediate needs, the short-term goals and responsibility right now. And so we're telling him, don't work as long, don't do this. And we should be saying that. Remember, in both these things, there's got to be a balance, y'all. It's got to be a balance. So we support him in those dreams. We tell the children, we got to let daddy work on this or know that daddy is working hard or daddy is going to be home. We don't sit in front of the children and say, you know, he's never home and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and blah, blah, blah. In the meantime, daddy also got to know that the wife is a good advisor and she would advise him, honey, you've got to take time with your children. You've got to spend some time with me. I understand what you're doing as far as college education, but we're living today, you know. So this was the thing that was really cool, you know, about our perspectives being different. He looks at the long-range achievement. She's looking at the immediate short-term responsibilities that need to be taken care of today. Beloved, balance that out. And as you notice in what I was saying, you know that we have to encourage our man. For him not to give up on the goals that God has given him, we must urge him, you know, to verbalize his dreams and his hopes and give our wholehearted support. So I'm not talking about at that point when I'm saying encourage him and urge him not to give up on God's goals, you know, on the goals that God has given him. He may be working on something and get frustrated and decide, oh, forget it, I'm going to quit. Beloved, be sure that if this is from God, that we encourage them, praise be unto God, to go on and do exactly what it is that God has called them to do. Yes, ma'am, beloved Lady Joyce. Go ahead, sweetheart. Speak to us.
Apostle, you've...
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. She's back. Go ahead. Miss Joyce.
All right. Okay. Yes. Okay. First of all, you asked what my husband would have said about submitting and I had something to say there, but you keep saying things that I got things to say about that. It's like, oh gosh, I'm in a tizzy in my spirit right now. I forget that word. You said you were in your spirit, but it's like, anyway, Brother Richardson would have said submission is something like in verse 21, it says submitting to one another, one another, one another, not just submitting wife, submit to the husband,
right.
But you're submitting one unto another. I know my husband, he would have brought that up immediately. He's outside taking care of the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. He's outside working right now. But that's what he said. You're submitting one unto another. Another thing I want to say, because there are some younger people online, is when you go through that premarital, if you go through premarital counseling, I am praying that that counselor teaches about the short-range goals and the long-range goals.
Mm-hmm.
And my prayer daily is, because that can get so jumbled up like you're talking about, and you'll have mass confusion if a woman doesn't understand that. It takes effective communication, and that's my prayer every day. I start out my day saying, Lord, give us effective communication starting right in my house. Right in my house, okay?
Yeah.
Because as you see from things that are happening in our world, when communication is not effective, you got a mess. And God is not the author of confusion, and that's what happens in our homes and in our marriage. You know, it becomes confusing. So, again, Brother Richardson would have gone back and said that praying together, okay, and putting it out there, and giving it to God. God, I pray for my family. I pray that I'm balanced in all of my ways. I give my will to you, Father. You lead and you guide and you temper us. Respecting the husband is just so important. If you don't marry somebody that you respect, you're not going to take the wise counsel. You're not going to submit. You're going to buck. You're going to do all of those things that we do, and the adversary is right in between all of that. So anyway, like I said, I just got so much because you done pushed my hot button rush. It's just wise counsel, because this thing is long-lasting and life-changing, and the way you handle things in the beginning, if you get a lazy-spirited man, if you get a man that has no vision, you got Mr. Tall, Dark, and Handsome with the six-pack, but he has no vision. What do you do when you got that man? You know, that man that sits there with the remote and doesn't do anything, don't play with the children, but don't want to really work either, don't want to work in the yard, don't want to do this. And that's where we have issue with submission.
Yeah.
And our churches have taught this submission. They've taught this submission thing from the in a wrong way for so many years. For so many years, we were supposed to be barefoot and pregnant, and all them crazy things that they used to say.
Right.
And now women are bucking. They are bucking. Mm-hmm. We are learning more about what Christ has said and submission. First of all, the man is the example of submission. I will submit. Do as I see you submitting to me, because you are the leader. You should supposed to be submitting first. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then when we meet in the middle, then we got something going on. So anyway, I don't wanna go off any further. I'll try to hold my mute.
It's all right. It's all right. You know that's what we do here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Amen. I knew this was going to stir up some folks early in the morning. And while I'm thinking about it also, remember, I did give you the one comment from one of our listeners when she said when Elder Mark was speaking, speak, a brother, you know, go ahead and speak. Another person texted me and said that that was the best breakdown that she had ever heard, you know, speaking about the husbands and the wives and the submission and so forth. She said that was the best breakdown that she had ever heard. And she's listening via the internet to us. So, again, you know, we do thank God, you know, for our listeners. Praise be unto God. Excuse me. Joyce, thank you for that input, my love. And if you want to speak again, you know how to get our attention. So for the rest of you as well, remember, in order for you to speak and chime in and on the conversation, you press 1 on your keypad, and then that'll let us know that you desire to share in the conversation, and we will listen to you. We will listen to you. Praise be unto God. So encouraging our husbands, submitting to our husbands, realizing our perspectives are different. We must believe in our husbands no matter what. Loyalty can be demonstrated only in adversity. See, a husband needs to know that his wife is committed to him no matter what, and that she will look first to him for counsel and direction. Use difficult times to reflect the depth of your commitment to your husband, and do not ask for counsel for others without his permission. Now, listen, like I told y'all, there are going to be some things we're going to say in here, but, you know, that we have to handle with kid gloves. Now, this thing where it says, you know, don't ask for counsel to others without his permission. This is truly, they're talking about when there are some situations that's going to go on in your relationship that's very private, and your husband does not want you sharing that information with anyone else, okay? He doesn't want you sharing that information with anyone else. So there are things that you might want to talk about with someone else, and, you know, and it involves him. It involves him. It's his private, personal business. And so you should seek his permission to share that stuff. You should seek his permission to share that stuff. But now let's take a situation here where it's a domestic violence situation. Of course, that man does not want you to share that kind of stuff. Now, you may say, well, but wait a minute, Apostle, you're talking about a Christian husband here. Beloved, we have Christian husbands that are domestic violent offenders. They can preach from the pulpit and go home and beat their wives half to death, beat their children. And when I say that, I don't want it to seem that I'm insensitive when I say beat them half to death. I really mean that they beat their wives, okay? And they are quote unquote considered men of God. And so when it says here, don't seek counsel for someone else without his permission, beloved, this is where you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. You better seek counsel from somebody and don't wait around to get his permission to do so. They weren't talking about something that is that in depth. They weren't speaking to that. And see, and this is how the enemy tries to twist up the truth of what God wants us to get and has people in bondage. Because they hear something, they are taught something. I know, I'm telling you what I know, beloved. I know where the churches have in the past especially, and probably still in some backwards forms of religion, where men in particular that are pastors of churches have said their wives have to obey their husbands no matter what it is they say, and even in something like this, that the wife should keep her mouth closed and not say anything, and she just needs to bite the bullet and just deal with it. Saints of God, that is not of God. It is not how God wants his daughters treated. Excuse me. And if you're the daughter that's beating your husband, this is not how God wants his son to be treated. This is not it, beloved. Hear me when I say this. This is not what he means. if your husband has a physical illness, you know, that is causing him not to be able to perform in the bed the way that he should be performing, your husband doesn't want you running around telling every Tom, Dick, and Harry, Mary, Sue, and Jane about that issue. And if you're going to share it, because, yes, it does affect you personally. So if you're going to share that information, praise be unto God, you should seek his permission to do so. You should seek his permission to do so. So that's the type of thing that it's talking about, you know, in getting counsel. Babies, there are times that women will ask their husbands to go into marital counseling with them, and the husband doesn't want to do it. He's not going to do it, and you're there all by yourself and so forth and so on. There's times, beloved, you're going to have to share information with godly counselors, your pastor, your elder, his wife. Well, more so if we're talking to women, you share with a wife before you talk really to the elder, you know, so you want to try to keep things copacetic. You know, you don't want any temptation to rise up there and so forth and so on. So you have to be smart with whom it is that you're talking to. And so this is very important. So saints, as we are doing this, you know, we've got to take things and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the truth of God's word. So, beloved, don't be moved by every word of a commentator, every author of something, you know, that's trying to explain the word of God. This is where also you must go to God, you know, for yourself. You're hearing my opinion. You're hearing this author's opinion. Go to Holy Spirit and ask Holy Spirit, what is the truth? Now, this part right here that I'm about to say, this is the part that when I first came on and said, you know, I got a little bit of issue with this. I got a little issue with this. This is the one right here. And mind you, now we're talking about seven basic needs of the husband. Y'all, here it is, 9:47, and we haven't gotten off the number one. Okay? So I told you some controversial stuff going on in here. So this is the part here. It says here, a wife is never supposed to, in quotes, take over. In response to the pressure within a family or within a marital relationship, and I'm going to read it exactly what it says, and I got an issue with this word here. In response to the pressures within a family or within marital relationships, a foolish wife will take matters into her own hands. When you intrude in one area of responsibility, even with the good motive of meeting the urgent, why is this thing acting up here? The urgent, there's a word that's covered up. I can't see what it is.
It says decision needs.
Needs. Okay, thank you, honey. Mm-hmm. The urgent need, your husband will most likely surrender other responsibilities as well. Initially, it may appear that you succeed in fulfilling the responsibilities that should be carried out by your husband. However, in the long run, the decision to usurp and ignore your husband's responsibility to meet those needs will do much more harm than good. Beloved, do you have Proverbs 14:1? Could you get
that
for me?
Yeah, I'll get
that
in 1 second. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we want to look at Proverbs 14:1 and then expound. Yes, honey. Uh-huh.
Okay. It reads, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands.
Okay. Now, continuing with that, it says, It is God's job to convict your husband, not yours, and purpose not to become your husband's conscience. Wisely appeal wrong decisions and give him room to fail. Be loyal, faithful, and enduring. Trust in God to work everything together for good. And that's Romans 8:28. You know that's my scripture there. Okay, so let's touch on this. It is a wife is not supposed to take over. And here the author calls it a foolish woman that takes matters into her own hands. All right. Now, women, and especially when I'm talking to African-American women, we are definitely very used to taking over when the man does not meet the God-given responsibility that he has. We take over. We see to it that the matters are taken care of. We're not going to let our children suffer. We're not going to lose our home. We're not going to be hungry because he isn't doing his responsibility. The part that I agree with in this is the fact that when we do take over and do these things, the man knows that if he doesn't do what he's supposed to do, we are going to do what needs to be done, and therefore he doesn't even attempt to do what he should be doing because we will take over and do. And I got upset in reading this when it says that it's a foolish wife that will take matters into her own hands. Beloved, there are times when you're going to have to take some matters into your own hand. I understand what the man is trying to say here. I definitely understand it. And yes, he's right. It seems like we have taken care of the need. We were successful in getting what needed to be done. We got it done. But in the long term, it causes the men not to do what they should do because they know that we are going to see to it that it's done. And he doesn't have to do it. Again, there are times, and I have counseled women in doing this, there are times, even though it may cause some pain and some discomfort in the household, there are sometimes, women, we are going to have to not do something so that it will the man will have no choice but to do it. But we're not the one that's forcing his hand, that we're letting God convict him, because we get to running off at our mouth, fussing and cussing and carrying on. And I know none of you wives on here are cussing, okay? So we're running off at our mouth. We're yelling at them and so forth and so on. Instead of trying to handle it in a gentle manner, we are judge and jury. We end up calling them all kinds of names and so forth, and call ourselves trying to encourage them to do something. Where all we're doing is beating them up for not doing something. And I remember once when the Holy Spirit told me, if he isn't moved by my persuasion and influence, how do you think you're going to be the one to change him? How do you think so? Because I'm God Almighty, okay? Then that God didn't say that. That's what it my interpretation. He is God Almighty. He is the one that's in control of all of this. He is the one. And if the man isn't moved by the Holy Spirit right then and there at that moment, who are we to think that we are going to change him at that moment? We have to let God do the convicting. We've got to let the Holy Spirit cause his heart to change, cause him to get a new vision for what it is that he's supposed to do, and so forth and so on. We have to let God do his part. And I know, remember the short-term, long-term thing, I know that as women and as wives, honey, look, we're going to take care of this matter. We're going to take care of it right here, right now, because it's something that has to be done now. So you're going to have to pick and choose those things that you don't have to take over. And but when it's detrimental to your child's life, to your life, when it's an urgent need, like the house is about to be foreclosed on and the man is not getting up off of his duff and trying to borrow the money from anybody, do whatever he needs to do to keep you from losing your home, then, yeah, we end up, we're going to step in because we've worked too hard to get the home and so forth. So we're going to really have to. I mean, I love how this stuff stirs stuff up. We are really going to have to, excuse me, seek guidance from the Holy Spirit and operate accordingly. Okay, audience, okay. Now, is there anybody that wants to comment on that before we move on? Anyone that wants to pitch in? Because I know I got some married folks on here that have been married for a long time. I'm sure they have been confronted with things of this nature. And so if any of you, you know, want to say something, go ahead and press 1 on your keypad. Press 1 on the keypad and let us know that you want to share. Go ahead, beloved. I don't see anyone pressing the 1 as it stands right now. So you can go ahead and let's see if we can get, wow, it's 4 minutes to 10 already.
Right.
I don't even know if you could. Well, what happened to? Did you just see what happened? Half of my switchboard disappeared.
Oh yeah.
Okay, the numbers. Okay. Yeah, okay. Half of the switchboard disappeared. I don't know what happened there. Because it was filled mm-hmm. with callers, and then half of it went away. Okay. Amen. 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 So where was I? Oh, number 2. So I don't know. Go ahead. Let's see if we can squeeze 1 more in here or finish up number 1.
Yeah, finish up number 1 because it had a lot
right,
of points
finish up.
To it.
Yeah.
So the next point is to seek your husband's advice first. So mm-hmm. a wife should demonstrate loyalty to her husband's wishes, goals, and standards. So when a need arises or something comes up, a wife should seek the husband's guidance and counsel first, especially mm-hmm. when it comes in regard to family issues, rather than seeking advice from other family members and friends. So we got to keep in mind that husbands want to know that they are being heard,
yes.
are considering or listening to their advice or opinion or whatever it is that whatever need it is. Because, you know, and sometimes men have their egos and pride issues going on, and they want to know that they're making the decision. So in some type of way, you have to allow him to feel like he's making the decision. Like if he says, and I know because I've been guilty of this, like I want to do something or it's something that I want. So I try to convince my husband first because I already know that he might tell me no, but I know that it's something that I really want. So I try to go to him convincing him first, you know, and then, you know, so because I know he may say no. And so some of us may be guilty of just going to ask somebody else first and then come back to the husband like, well, such and such said that that's mm-hmm. a good idea and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, so you went and talked to somebody else first before you talked to me. And so we just have to consider his feelings like we would want him to consider ours because, you know, shoe on the other foot, we would get upset if he went to somebody and asked them about something and mm-hmm. then came back to you. So even if you know that your husband is going to say no, especially when it comes to things that we want that's not really a necessity, just, you know, just let it be. He may surprise you with it later. But when it comes to needs in your family, you want to make sure that your husband is in the loop first. And then if it's something where you guys don't know what to do or the issue is causing division or whatever, then maybe seek counsel of a friend or somebody that may have gone through the same thing that you're going through, seek your pastor. But Apostle, this is what I wanted to say real quick. What happens when your significant other, whether it's a husband or wife, doesn't want you to share with your pastor?
I'm sorry. Say that again. Say that again.
I said, what happens in a situation, whether it's a husband or wife, that doesn't want you to share with your pastor?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. That is still something, sweetheart, where, again, you're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit, because remember, that to me is almost like the domestic violence situation. You're the one that's being abused, the one that's being the abuser does not want you to share that with your pastor, okay? But that's a life-changing situation. It's detrimental to your health if you don't share it with somebody, So you can share that with if you seek somebody from an organization that handles that. But definitely I say go ahead and share that with your pastor, okay? Go ahead, because God has put these pastors over our lives to watch over us, to care for us, doing the nurturing and the taking care of us, and spiritually coming before the Father to pray for us and give godly advice. So, again, depending on what the situation is, beloved, depending on what the situation is, and it doesn't have to be the life-threatening thing. There are some things that will go on in a marriage. There's some things that go on in a marriage that one mate definitely does not want you to tell, but it's not like you're getting beaten. It's not like he's starving you to death or anything like that, he or she, but it's something that needs to be resolved. And you, as the spouse that's holding the burden of this, you need to find godly wisdom and counsel in order to be able to withstand what you're going through. So he may not want you to go, she may not want you to go, but you may have to step up and go anyway. And that's what I would say to somebody. Listen, but be sure that you are seeking God first and foremost. There are things that Holy Spirit will handle on your behalf without you saying anything to anybody, okay? There are definite things that God will handle without you speaking to anyone about it. But there may come a time if you think that it's driving you to the point of feeling suicidal, okay, or feeling like that's it, I've had enough, I'm walking out on this, you may want to seek the counsel of your pastor, whether your mate wants you to do so or not. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's the point where you may not, it's not a domestic violence relationship, because, yes, that's always something that you should tell somebody about. I'm talking about you hit on a situation. It may not be that. It could just be a situation where it's causing division, it's causing chaos. But the person doesn't want you to share with the pastor because that person know that the godly wisdom is going to come out, and things may be exposed that the other person may not know is going on. So those are the things where we have to talk to Holy Spirit, because like you said, sometimes he'll fix things where you don't have to say anything, but sometimes it's that thing that's going on needs to be exposed, and you do have to say something to your pastor. And yes, your spouse may be upset, but sometimes that's the enemy causing your spouse to not want to be changed or not want that situation to be healed.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. That is so true. That is so true. There may be something that you know about your spouse that they don't want the pastor to know, And then the pastor wants your spouse to participate in a certain thing that could exacerbate, if that's the right word, the situation if they put your mate in that situation. You know, it can cause issues for your mate, okay? And your mate doesn't want you to say anything, but you know what this could do, you know?
Right.
So you say something to your pastor. Let me give you one other quick example. excuse me. My brother and I, we share with one another different movies to look at, you know. And so there was a movie that he was telling me to look at, and it had to deal with the Vietnam War and so forth. And he had told my ex-husband to look at the movie. And in conversation, he told me, and I told him, no, no, he can't look at that movie. He cannot look at that movie. And so I explained to him about the suffering that my ex goes through with the PTSD, that he goes through, the nightmares that this man still has, you know, 60 years later, the nightmares that he has from that. And the reality of that movie, because it was based on a true story, the reality of that movie would have tipped him over. Now, my ex never told my brother about these things, and my ex and my brother are very close. He never told him about the suffering, but I had to expose that, not to embarrass my ex-husband, but to protect him. I had to expose that. So that same thing, like if that was your pastor that wanted to share, you know, or shared with the congregation, look at this movie, you'll get some revelation, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I would have to let them know, so-and-so cannot watch that movie, you know. That's it, and I would advise the ex, you know, not to watch it. So my brother called the ex up, and you know, he told him, you know, he told him, though, that he spoke with me. And I suggested not to look at it, and so the ex didn't look at it. So there are times when we're going to have to share information about each other that we didn't share on our own. We didn't want anybody to know, but for the protection of that person's life even, you told.
Right.
So, okay. Awesome, awesome. Well, look, saints of God. Hallelujah, glory to God. We almost got number one complete. We almost got it complete. So you know what we're doing next week. We're going to be right back on this topic next week. So next week also is the opportunity for you to get your husbands, your significant others, some grown sons, whatever the case may be, get them to join the show next week. And let's see where the Lord takes us with this. So we will be back on this. How can I meet my husband's basic needs, or meeting your husband's seven basic needs? So that will be the topic for next week. And we thank you all for joining us this week. Praise be unto God. And we look forward to you, to see you, to hear from you again on next week. 9 a.m. Saturday morning from 9 until 10. Join us here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Take care. God bless. And see you next week. Amen.
God bless. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Heart to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.